Okay, great. So get the iPad, and if you need a Bible, they're there at your seats. If you don't have a Bible at home, we want you to take that Bible and make it your own. You can take that Bible and give it away to somebody that doesn't have one. We love to give Bibles away. I want you, before we start the message this morning, I want you to... I've got too much stuff to juggle this morning. Let's see how to do this. I want you to turn in your Bibles to two different passages that we're going to be looking at this morning. The first one is Acts chapter 2. If you use the Bible there at your seats, it's page 967. 967. And then we're going to come back to that one first, so put your bulletin there. And then you can flip to the very center of your Bible, and so you're going to find Psalm chapter 133. That's pretty close to the center. You may have to go a chapter back and forth somewhere there, but if you have the Bible there at your seat, that's page 552. What I recommend is you take your communication card and put it in Psalms 133, and then you can flip over to Acts chapter 2. We'll get there in just a few moments. So welcome to the 30-Day Church Challenge. Last week was kind of a preview of this whole 30-Day Church Challenge. And what we're going to experience together during this 30-Day Church Challenge is going to change your life. It's really, really exciting. So I want to begin today by reading our memory verse for the entire passage, entire series. If you read it on screen, let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Ready? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Isn't that a great verse? I recently heard about a little boy who was playing in his front yard, and a pastor walked by, and he said, "Excuse me, son, I'm lost, and I need to find the post office." The little boy said, "Well, that's easy, mister. If you just go down this road, and you come to two red lights, and you turn right, the post office is on your left behind the restaurant." He said, "Well, thank you very much, son. I'm the new pastor in town. I just moved here. And if you'll come to church on Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the little boy looked real quizzical for a minute, and he said, "Now, that's all right, mister. You don't even know how to get to the post office." So I am the pastor here, and I do know how to get to the post office, and we want to just welcome everybody here. But over the next 30 days, I want to help you get to a place where you've never been before. I want to help you and our church reach our God-given potential. So today we're starting an adventure called the 30-Day Church Challenge. The dictionary defines a challenge as a call to take part in a contest or a competition. So for the next 30 days, you and I are entering into a contest designed to deepen our relationship with God and each other, and to discover what the church was really meant to be. We are going to do what the church once did in Acts chapter 2, the very first church. We want to become a church that God wants us to be, to experience spiritual life at the deepest level possible. We want to go to the next level. In 1930, a Scotsman named Kurt Hahn invented a wilderness experience, a learning experience that he called Outward Bound. Anybody ever heard of Outward Bound? Yeah? Okay. So if you think of Outward Bound, think of something like whitewater rafting, backpacking, dog sledding, rock climbing, all of those things mixed together in one. Very challenging. Hahn believed that character development was just as important as academic achievement. And I think he's right. He found that when people were put in challenging, adventurous situations, they gained incredible confidence. They redefined their perceptions of their personal capabilities. And they demonstrated compassion for others that they usually didn't do. And they developed a spirit of camaraderie with each other that they never did before. In his leadership of Outward Bound, Hahn discovered a couple of things. First, he discovered that personal growth, if you turn in your sermon notes in the bulletin, about the third or fourth page there, you'll see some of these listed. He determined that personal growth accelerates in challenging situations. His wilderness experiences are so effective. Over the past 80 years, the thousands of people have given up weeks of their life. They've paid huge amounts of money to participate, to climb mountains, to hike challenging trails, to canoe whitewater rapids, to scale cliffs that they normally wouldn't climb. Today, Outward Bound sponsors wilderness adventures in more than 30 countries on the earth. They help people grow in character. And through the power of challenge, it stretches them in ways that they would normally never, ever stretch themselves. Outward Bound and similar experiences have taught us a second thing. They've taught us that people grow better together. Say that with me. People grow better together. Put a single guy out in the wilderness, unless he's Survivor Man or MacGyver or something like that, he's probably going to flounder and he's probably going to die. That'd probably be me. But put a group of people out there and the power of community takes place. It bonds them together and enables them to do things that they would never do alone. By our very nature, we grow together better when we decide to tackle challenges together. As long as we can remember, military men and women have issued what we call challenge coins. We don't know where the tradition started, but it started somewhere in World War I, when a lieutenant gave his aerial squadron, some fighter pilot squadron, some memento, a little memento of their service together. One of the pilots put a little leather pouch and wore it around his neck, a little coin. He was shot down. A few days later, he was captured behind German lines in World War I. They confiscated all of his personal belongings, but somehow they missed the little thing that was hung around his neck. He was able to keep that. That night he escaped. That night he painfully crawled across no man's land, and he was captured by a French patrol. The French believed that he really was a German, and they threatened to execute him unless he could prove that he was an American soldier. His challenge coin had an insignia, a little tiny insignia of the U.S. Army Air Corps on it, and it saved his life. From that day on, his squadron mates determined that every member of their crew was going to wear and carry that coin with them everywhere they went. On your way in this morning, you were given a little challenge coin. Did everybody get one? Hey, hold it up. Let me see it. Everybody was given a little challenge coin, right? We're going to challenge you to keep this coin with you during the 30-day church challenge. Keep it in your purse. Keep it in your wallet. If you want, you can construct your own little leather pouch and hang it around your neck. Whatever you want to do with this. It's a reminder that we are taking this 30-day church challenge, not individually, but together as a church. Every Sunday during this series, I'm going to issue a new challenge related to one of the five purposes of the first church that we're studying, Acts 2 Church. Your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to step up to the challenge that we're going to give during this 30-day church challenge. Monday through Saturday, I want you all to take one of these devotional books home with you. It's free today. They're out on the lobby. A whole bunch of books Ellen set out, really pretty out there. And in this devotional book, every day, there's a very small, one or two page, little simple devotional that goes along with the message that I'm preaching today for the whole week. And I'm going to, by the time this month is over, you'll have discovered how our church can help you reach your God-given potential. How your relationship with God can be strengthened in ways you never thought was possible. And how we can become a church that not only transfers our community here locally, but can have a huge impact on our world out there. Every day there's a small, simple step. Real simple, small step to take that will lead you to accomplish the big challenge that I give you each Sunday during this 30-day church challenge. Our objective at the end of this 5 weeks of the 30-day church challenge is that we won't just come to church anymore, that we will be the church in our life. That we will become a church that's full of faith, a community of faith, a powerful, inspirational, transformational, irresistible church. How does that sound? Hopefully we can touch the community and the world and really make an impact through this 30-day church challenge with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, I want to read from Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2, so follow along with me as we read this passage. This is what we read last week. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every one of our challenges will relate to one of the five purposes of this first church in Acts chapter 2. The five purposes of the church are to, one, cultivate authentic community, experience worship as a part of our daily lifestyle, take successive steps of spiritual growth, practice personal stewardship, and reach out to a world that's around us. Those are the challenges that we'll be mastering over the next 5 weeks. And the first one is cultivating authentic community. Acts chapter 2 is a church that excelled at community. They devoted themselves to a church, and they devoted themselves to each other. Last week we learned that one of the things that made this first church that was born in Jerusalem so incredibly special was that the people made time for relationships. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to fellowship. Verse 44 says they had everything in common. Verse 46 says they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They cultivated authentic community. One of the things you'll discover when you get involved in a really great church is that it's not a building that you go to. It's actually a place that you belong to. And for every person, the very center of family life is usually a community group that meets together regularly, where people can study spiritual truth together. In this process, you come to a place where you can be known and where you can know each other, where you can love and where you can be loved, where you can serve and where you can be served, and where you can celebrate and be celebrated yourself. So how do you experience that? How do you experience authentic community? Well, number one, you have to make time for it. You just have to make time for it. You commit to an intentional group of people on a weekly basis. You sign up for a group, and you make it such a priority that you show up every week. You spend time with each other. Day one of the 30-Day Church Challenge book, and you'll read, you take that home with you, you'll read tomorrow about David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the heir to the throne of Israel. David was the commanding general in the army. These were two busy guys. Two busy. One head of state, and the other one was a head of a general, one of the armies. Two busy guys. But they knew the power of relationship. So even in the midst of all of their busyness, all of the stuff that they had going on in their lives, they made time for their relationship with each other. And both of them were better men as a result. Because relationships don't just happen. You and I need to deliberately make time for important relationships. We can't have deep relationships with everyone, but we can cultivate some authentic relationships with a couple of people. Our first week's challenge in the 30-day church challenge is to commit to joining a community group or ministry so you can experience the power of authentic community. Can you commit to making time for a community group and meet just once a week for the next 5 weeks with a small group of people? Can you do that? Say yes. Sure we can. Once you've made that commitment, the second step to authentic community is, second, you have to contribute to it. It's not just about showing up. Showing up is the first step, but you have to contribute to it. It's one thing to show up for your group. Anyone can do that. A good group bonds together and gels together when the members of the group make a conscious effort to be contributors to that group. One person will make dessert for the group. We have one of those in our group, right? Every week they make dessert for us. We're so grateful for that person. We have another person because she cooks really, really great. Somebody else calls those who are absent and reaches out and just loves on people who for whatever reason can't make it. No condemnation, just, hey, we missed you, anything we can do to help. We have other people that we all come together and we add a comment or two to make our group really, really great, a really good conversation that helps us grow closer to Christ. The bottom line is you learn to do life with each other. You speak the truth in love to one another, and you make each other's lives better as a result of meeting together. This third step in building a great community is you take a genuine interest in the lives of other people. Now, this is fairly easy for women to do. Don't you love that about ladies? But it's not that easy for men, is it? It's a little more difficult. Men compartmentalize their lives. But men, I'm going to ask you to take a genuine interest in what's going on in the life of other people in your community group. Then, in your prayer time, which I hope you have every single morning, I hope you'll take a minute to sincerely pray for each member of your group, their needs, maybe what they shared or what they shared with you. And I pray that you'll pray for those group members every day. So what does authentic community feel like? What is the effect of authentic community in our lives and in the lives of people around us? What impact does it have in our life? And I'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133 is almost exactly in the middle of the Bible, as I said, and it's one of the shortest chapters in the entire Bible. Psalm 133 was written by King David, who experienced the power of authentic community in a company of close friends who called themselves, or David called them, David's mighty men. So listen to this psalm as we read it. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the beard, running down It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. Now, I don't know about you, but I just got to pick on my wife a little bit. That probably really skeeved her, because she skeeved things. I can't imagine what she's thinking right now, you know, this gooey oil running down this guy's face, but that's just awesome to me. So it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. Now that phrase in verse 1, when brothers live together in unity, is what we call community around here. In other words, unity and community can be used synonymously. Because I believe King David is speaking much more about living together in a tight communal relationship than simply keeping peace or not arguing with each other or having discord among each other. That's why I say that Psalm 133 was a psalm or a song written about the power of authentic community. The opening verse is fairly self-explanatory. It's good and pleasant to be in community with a few other people. How good and pleasant it is. The next line says, what's all the talk about oil on Aaron's beard? What does that mean? And then the final verse, what's he talking about? What's it mean with some dew falling on some guy named Hermon? Well, in David's day, there were two great offices in the nation of Israel. The first office was the office of the king. David held that office when he wrote this psalm. The other office that was very, very important in the nation of Israel was the high priest, the great high priest, they would call him. That position was, again, hereditary, just like the king's office was. The high priest was based or was passed from father to son in the lineage of Aaron, the first high priest, the brother of Moses. The office of the high priest was for life. So most people only got to see the anointing of one high priest during their entire lifetime. When this happened, it was a tremendous ceremony that took place in the entire nation of Israel. The person being anointed was a person who was going to represent the people before God on a daily basis. The high priest would make it possible for their sins to be forgiven as a great annual sacrifice that took place on the Day of Atonement. When the high priest was to be anointed, the whole nation would gather together in the city of Jerusalem. After some prayers were prayed, a special, very special mixture of oil and herbs and spices, a mixture that was only used for the anointing of the high priest. No one else was allowed to use this particular oil that was incredibly fragrant. This was a special oil for this single occasion. It was poured lavishly over the head of the high priest. So much oil was poured out that it dripped down both sides of his head, it ran down his beard, and it splashed onto the collar of his priestly robes. The fragrance would literally fill the entire tabernacle. Unless they were lucky enough to outlive the high priest, the fragrance given off by this anointing oil would only be smelled one time during a person's entire life. When David, who had experienced the power of authentic community in the company of close friends, searched for a way to describe how good and pleasant it is, he pictured a once-in-a-lifetime nationwide event and said, guys, it's hard to describe, but it's sort of like that. Authentic community with a group of close friends gives off the same pleasant aroma in our life, the same level of joy as the celebration of anointing the great high priest of Israel that's going to serve for the rest of his life. But nobody misses exactly how important community is to David. He gives a second analogy in verse 3. Here he says, it's like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. You got to understand the climate in Israel. The land of Israel has a very, very dry, desert-like climate. It only has a very short rainy season in all of Israel. Then after that, all the plants and animals have to survive on the moisture that comes from only one natural source in the entire land of Israel. That's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon sits on the northern edge of Israel and is the highest point in the entire land, in the entire country. Its summit reaches high enough that when the wind blows eastward off the Mediterranean, it catches the moisture of the sea. And the moisture then flows down Mount Hermon and waters the surrounding area as far as Jerusalem, on which sits Jerusalem sits on top of Mount Zion. Without the dew from Mount Hermon, just about all plant life in Israel would perish, would die. David is saying, do you know the effect Mount Hermon has on everything around it? It's the same effect that authentic community has, not only in those who directly experience community, but even on those within relational distance to those who experience community, which is true. Have you ever been around someone who's truly happy? Have you? Have you ever been around someone who's truly content? How the joy exudes from them? How people, that joy just tends to rub off on you? People in very close relationships tend to be much happier than people who are trying to go on life alone, all by themselves. So there is a contagious and cascading effect to authentic community. Say this after with me. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Community is like an anointing event for a nation and an environmental lifeboat for an ecosystem. That's what authentic community is like. That's what David's describing to us. Now you know what Psalm 133 means. You read through it and you read it and you go, wow, David's saying a lot in there. And he's saying it to you and to me to encourage us to be plugged in to real community. So if real community is so precious, why isn't everybody in authentic community? The answer is because many of us are too busy looking for the good life somewhere else. We're involved in our kids' little league, and that's a good thing. We're really involved in our careers, and that's a good thing. Then there's family chores. There's exercise. There's paying the bills. There's TV. There's soccer practice. There's taking vacations. There's work. There's more work. There's additional work. There's so many other things at our fingertips. There's the iPad and Facebook and all the things we have to check that goes along with that, right? It's so easy to miss one of the most important things that we can be plugged into in our life. So let me ask you a few questions this morning. Do you want the joy and unity that community can bring? Say yes. I'm going to give you the answer. Do you want the spirit of celebration that doing life together brings? Yes. Do you want to bring life and refreshment to others, your family, your friends? Yes, we do, don't we? Are you willing to invest some time to get that? Say yes, right? Good. As I said earlier, your first weekly challenge, should you choose to accept it, is to join, attend, and contribute to a small group, a community group, right here within your church. In my opinion, you'll get the most out of this first 30-day church challenge if you'll do three things. Look at these three things right here. One, attend Sunday services so you're up on the subject for the week. That's you're here today. That's the great first step. Number two, read the material in the 30-day church challenge book that you'll pick up as you leave today in the foyer. And three, be a part of a community group where you can do life together and learn truth together. Friends, for the next 30 days, we are entering into an accelerated learning challenge where we will do things together to make us better every week and every day. But for some of you, this weekly challenge isn't much of a challenge. You're already plugged into a community group. You're already reading the Bible every day. So, For those of you who are already in a community group, I have a little deeper challenge for you this morning. Ready? You thought you were off the hook. You thought you were just going to check this one off, didn't you? If you're a veteran small group person, you've never led a group before, you've never facilitated a group before, I want you to get with your group leader this week. And I want you to say, what do I need to do to lead a small group? Can you apprentice me? Can you help me take up that challenge? And you know what? They're going to click their heels and be so excited that somebody's interested in leading a group. Your challenge is to say to your small group leader, mentor me. If you are currently leading a small group, your challenge during these next 5 weeks is to find and prepare at least one person inside of your group to mentor, to apprentice, to lead, so they can lead their own small group. If you've never been in a group, your challenge is to show up and contribute by doing your reading and taking a genuine interest in the lives of other people. Are you ready for this challenge? All right, let's make it official this morning. Take out your challenge coin. We have our challenge pledge this morning, should you choose to accept it. Ready? Hold it up. And say, this week, I will begin to cultivate authentic community with a few other people. You're losing your motivation here. Ready? I will attend a community group. I will share honestly. I will help the group become a great group. I am up for the challenge. Let's pray. God, we love you. We praise you. We are looking forward, Lord, to getting everyone in the church connected into authentic community so that their lives will literally spill over, just like David described in Psalm 133, that they will be the moisture. They will be the life, God, not just because someone else they know is in community. Maybe they know somebody that's not in community, but because of their activity and participation and investment in the lives of other people, their lives are going to be filled with joy and peace and contentment and blessing, and that blessing is going to flow into the people that they're connected with. Lord, I pray that the refreshing oil that runs down Aaron's beard, as gross as that might be to somebody else, God, Lord, that we would find that refreshment in us, that the aroma from that very special oil would fill our life and become a pleasant aroma to those around us, even to us, Lord, as we participate in authentic community. God, you made us. The truth is, you made us not to live life alone. Some of us feel like introverts, I know, God, and this is a tough step for some. Lord, truth be known, I'm probably more of an introvert than an extrovert. I have to work on making and connecting relationships because, Lord, I know that's your will for me. And it's not always easy. But, Lord, I pray today in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would help us obey Christ because, Lord, you designed us for relationships with one another, to encourage and be encouraged, to give and be given to serve and to be served, to invest and be invested in. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your presence, your power, your strength to help us accomplish this challenge for your glory, just as the very first church did. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we believe the South Bay Bible Church, it's a series of next steps. And so I want you to do two things. Get your communication card out. And on the very back is some next steps for you to take as a result of today's sermon. The first one is to memorize 1 Corinthians 12:27. You might want to take that. We read it in the very beginning, but mark that. Because as you're a part of the body of Christ, that in and of itself brings encouragement in our life. When things get down and you go, I have no friends, you'll go, wait a minute, I'm part of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will use that verse to encourage you in your walk with Him. And then, number two, I use this card to pray for you. And if you're going to commit to taking this book this morning, 30-day church challenge book and doing the daily devotions as we go through this challenge together. Mark that on the card so I know who you are. Not so I can keep some tally somewhere, I don't do that at all, but so that I can pray for you this week, that as you do your devotions in this book, that you're going to be encouraged and blessed, and the devotions in this book are really spectacular. I encourage everyone to do that. The third one today is to be a part of a community group this week, and to help you connect in a community group this week, turn in the second to last page of your bulletin. And you will see a list of community groups here. We have 6 community groups, actually 5 community groups.